Oasis Audio presents The Man Who Laughs by Victor Hugo, read for you by Simon Vance. Preliminary Chapter. Ursus. 1. Ursus and Homo were fast friends. Ursus was a man, Homo a wolf. Their dispositions tallied. It was the man who had christened the wolf. Probably he had also chosen his own name. Having found Ursus fit for himself, he had found Homo fit for the beast. Man and wolf turned their partnership to account at fairs, at village fetes, at the corners of streets where passers-by throng, and out of the need which people seem to feel everywhere to listen to idle gossip and to buy quack medicine. The wolf, gentle and courteously subordinate, diverted the crowd. It is a pleasant thing to behold the tameness of animals. Our greatest delight is to see all the varieties of domestication parade before us. This it is which collects so many folks on the road of royal processions. Ursus and Homo went about from crossroad to crossroad, from the high street of Aberystwyth to the high street of Jedburgh, from countryside to countryside, from shire to shire, from town to town. One market exhausted, they went on to another. Ursus lived in a small van upon wheels, which Homo was civilized enough to draw by day and guard by night. On bad roads, up hills, and where there were too many ruts or there was too much mud, the man buckled the trace round his neck and pulled fraternally, side by side with the wolf. They had thus grown old together. They encamped at haphazard on a common, in the glade of a wood, on the waste patch of grass where roads intersect, at the outskirts of villages, at the gates of towns, in marketplaces, in public walks, on the borders of parks, before the entrances of churches. When the cart drew up on a fair green, when the gossips ran up open-mouthed, and the curious made a circle round the pair, Ursus harangued, and Homo approved. Homo, with a bowl in his mouth, politely made a collection among the audience. They gained their livelihood. The wolf was lettered, likewise the man. The wolf had been trained by the man, or had trained himself unassisted, to diverse wolfish arts, which swelled the receipts. "Above all things, do not degenerate into a man," his friend would say to him. Never did the wolf bite. The man did, now and then. At least, to bite was the intent of Ursus. He was a misanthrope, and to italicize his misanthropy, he had made himself a juggler. To live, also, for the stomach has to be consulted. Moreover, this juggler-misanthrope, whether to add to the complexity of his being or to perfect it, was a doctor. To be a doctor is little. Ursus was a ventriloquist. You heard him speak without moving his lips. He counterfeited, so as to deceive you, anyone's accent or pronunciation. He imitated voices so exactly that you believed you heard the people themselves. All alone, he simulated the murmur of a crowd, and this gave him a right to the title of Engastromythos, which he took. He reproduced all sorts of cries of birds, as of the thrush, the wren, the pipit lark, otherwise called the grey cheeper, and the ring ousel, all travellers like himself, so that at times when the fancy struck him, he made you aware either of a public thoroughfare filled with the uproar of men, or of a meadow loud with the voices of beasts. At one time stormy as a multitude, at another fresh and serene as the dawn. Such gifts, although rare, exist. In the last century, a man called Tausel, who imitated the mingled utterances of men and animals, and who counterfeited all the cries of beasts, was attached to the person of Buffon, to serve as a menagerie. Ursus was sagacious, contradictory, odd, and inclined to the singular expositions which we term fables. He had the appearance of believing in them, and this impudence was a part of his humour. He read people's hands, opened books at random, and drew conclusions, told fortunes, taught that it is perilous to meet a black mare.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?